first encountering relativity, what really struck me about it more than anything else was actually how incredibly simple the underlying ideas were. The big point wasn't hidden in some minutiae of some deep mathematics or these stunning, very striking assumptions. The speed of light is constant, that physics looks the same in all frames of reference. And from these two seemingly innocuous assumptions come this incredibly different worldview than the standard Newtonian picture of the world. But now that we understand it, the more profound lesson is that things that seem incredibly different can really be manifestations of the same underlying phenomena. Before Einstein, before E equals mc squared, there was no even possible thought that just a hunk of material, any old hunk of material, was pregnant with enormous quantities of energy that you could release if only you could harness it. That was not something that anyone even thought of.
E equals mc squared is a very fundamental statement about the idea of what mass is, and that mass can be equivalent to energy, and we can actually convert mass into energy. But the thing that I wanted to say is that E equals mc squared is not the whole of the equation that Einstein wrote down. And it's worth talking about what the whole equation looks like, because it's very related to what kind of research I actually do. The research that I do is on a particle called the neutrino. And for a long time, we thought that neutrinos were massless particles. And when I started, my sister said, how is it possible that a particle can be massless? Because when she thinks about a particle, she thinks about a little speck of dust or something like that. Whereas when I think about a particle, I think about a little packet of energy coming out of this equation from Einstein, E equals mc squared. And in fact, the whole equation is E is equal to mc squared, the amount of energy the particle would have if it was sitting still, plus the extra energy that it would have if it has any motion. And if you think about it in that equation, if you now say,
this is the 100th anniversary of Einstein's development of the special theory of relativity. And so, of course, I went back and looked at his original papers. It was translated into English. And it really is amazing. The paper that he wrote in September of 1905 developed the basic idea of E equals mc squared, except it was more m equals e over c squared. Same equation. But he argued in this paper that when an object emits light, say a flashlight, it becomes lighter, that the decrease in mass would be equal to the amount of energy radiated divided by the square of the speed of light. And that was kind of a separate development in addition to the theory of relativity. And it is central because what I'd like people to understand is that once upon a time, there was a law of conservation of mass. Lavoisier in the 1700s showed that when you have chemical reactions, that the mass of the reactants is the same as the mass of the final product. That was a keystone to the science, and a second keystone was the law of conservation of energy developed in the 19th century. And what E equals mc squared does is tell us that both of those laws are wrong. Mass changes when combine hydrogen and oxygen to make water, the mass of the water is not equal to the mass of the hydrogen and oxygen. It's a little bit less. And when you take water apart into hydrogen and oxygen, the mass of the hydrogen and oxygen is a little tiny, little tiny, little tiny.
E equals mc squared. E equals mc squared. E equals mc squared. It's certainly a simple equation to write down, but it's a very subtle equation in some ways. You really have to keep your head on straight to recognize what the symbols mean in any given situation. With practice, it's not hard to keep it straight, but it certainly is not an equation that reveals all its subtlety in the few symbols that it takes to write down. Einstein's main goal throughout much of his life was to unify concepts in physics that at first sight seemed completely separate, but through his genius he realized that there were actually different facets of the same thing. This is what he did in special relativity. He showed that space and time, two ideas that we had since the days of Newton and have long thought to be completely separate ideas, he melded them together into something called space. space-time and showed that they were actually two sides of the same coin. After he united space and time together with special relativity, he realized a couple of months later that an outcome of that was to merge together two other ideas that had been around for a long time, but had also been thought to be different. He put together the concept of mass and the concept of energy and showed that they are actually the same thing when you think about them correctly. So his equation, E equals mc squared, the E is for energy, the M is for...
It's very hard for me to remember when I first heard the equation E equals mc squared. I always have regarded it as something that, at least as a phrase, is familiar to just about everybody. Probably it's easiest to explain by explaining how things looked from the point of view of Newton before we knew about E equals mc squared. In that context, energy and mass were two completely different things. What Einstein showed is that the thing that Newton called mass really was just a reflection of the total energy of the object. The very existence of the object had a certain energy associated with it called the rest energy or rest mass. So instead of having energy and mass, we now only had one conserved quantity, which we usually call energy. Of course, energy and mass themselves have nothing whatever to do with light, so it is a little peculiar to find and see the speed of light sitting in this all-important formula that relates energy to mass. What I guess is the easiest way of describing the excuse for that is that C in special relativity is not just the speed of a certain object that's called light. C is the limiting velocity of any motion.
As physicists, you get hit up in a bar, somebody wants to know if they're not asking you or reminding you about that terrible course in physics that they took way back when. They often want to know about special relativity and Einstein and things like that, which is really great. When I try and explain E equal mc squared, I have to step back and try and explain the fact that moving clocks run slow, moving meter sticks are short, and how does that happen? And that ties in and is a consequence of the constancy of the speed of light. The speed of light is independent of your frame of reference. So if I'm moving on a train, the train is moving at 100 miles an hour, and I throw a baseball as hard as I can at 80 miles an hour in the direction the train is moving, then with respect to the people on the ground who are wondering what I'm doing up on the train, the ball seems to be moving at 100 plus 80, simple velocity addition, 180 miles per hour with respect to the ground. That simple velocity addition formula just doesn't work at all when it comes to light. If I shoot a light beam off a moving train, then the speed of light is the same in both frames of reference. Now, speed is a distance over a time, right? Because if I'm going 60 miles an hour, what that means is that if I travel 300 miles, that's a distance, in 5 hours, it works out. 300 miles divided by the 5 hours gives me the 60 miles per hour. Speed is always a distance over time. So if I'm in a situation where I have two frames of reference, one moving with respect to the other, and somehow the speed works out to be the same in both frames of reference, the only way it can happen...
To some extent, there's a lot of myth around the equation, you know, this equivalence of mass and energy, and you can turn one into the other. I mean, the real fascinating thing is that before that, you had really thought of masses, particles with mass being kind of one entity, and energy, like heat, being a completely different entity. But now you really have to start to think of the two as being equivalent, and you can transfer one to the other. That means, for example, that you can annihilate one particle with its antiparticle and poof, a lot of energy comes off. All the mass of those two particle-antiparticle pairs will come off as energy. You have this idea you're really moving into a completely new regime of nature.
E equals mc squared is the secret of the stars. It's the cosmic engine that drives the entire universe. It means that even a few tablespoons of matter, if fully burned, can release the energy of an atomic bomb. It's the reason why the stars shine and why the sun lights up the Earth. Matter and energy are, in some sense, the same thing and can turn into each other. Even a rock can turn into a light ray. If the rock happens to be uranium, the light ray is a burst of atomic radiation. I first became conscious of E equals MC squared when I was in sixth grade. That's when Walt Disney came out with a movie called Our Friend the Atom. I got the book. I read every single page, every single line of that book.
What I like about E equals MC squared is not only its simplicity, but how many different environments in the universe the equation applies. It applies to what's going on inside of stars, inside of our own sun. It applies to what's going on in the center of the galaxy. It applies to what's going on in the vicinity of black holes. It applies to all the events that took place at the Big Bang. Our fundamental knowledge of the formation and evolution of the universe would be practically zero were it not for the existence and understanding of that equation. And as a recipe for converting matter into energy and back into matter, it's something that doesn't happen in your kitchen in everyday life, because the energies required to make that happen fall far outside of anything that goes on in everyday life. Because, for example, visible light that you're using, you make the page you read, you can calculate how much energy that light has. It's not enough to make any particles. You need more energetic light than visible light, than ultraviolet. You got to get into X-rays. If you get a high enough energy X-rays passing by your room, spontaneously, unannounced, unprompted, unscripted, they will make electrons. The whole suite of particles you learn about, all of those can be manufactured simply by entering a pool of energy. Can be manufactured.
And release the energy of an atomic bomb. I got the book. I read every single page, every single line of that book.
E equals MC squared.
Spontaneously, unannounced, unprompted, unscripted, spontaneously, unannounced, unprompted, unscripted, spontaneously, unannounced, unprompted, unscripted.
I got the book. I read every single page, every single line of that book. I got the book. I read every single page, every single line of that book. I got the book. I read every single page, every single line of that book. It's the reason why the stars shine. It's the reason why the stars shine. It's the reason why the stars shine. I got the book. I read every single page, every single line of that book. I got the book. I read every single page, every single line of that book. I got the book. I read every single page, every single line of that book. It's the reason why the stars shine. It's the reason why the stars shine.
Spontaneously, unannounced, unprompted, unscripted.
It's the reason why the stars shine.